Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to see y'all here this morning, especially if you are new to our community, if this is your first time, or if it's been a while since you've been with us. I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. I wanted to extend an invitation for something we're doing next week for those of you who are relatively new to our community. Every so often, we do something called Starting Point. It's a gathering that we hold after each one of our services, a short gathering. It's about 10 to 15 minutes. It happens after the service in the room that's right outside the doors to my left. And it's an opportunity for you to meet people who are also new to the community, also people who have been with us for a little bit longer, hear a little bit about our church, what we're about here in Chatham County, and hopefully get some of the information that will help you as you're considering whether this is the church you want to spend and invest your time in Chatham County in and be a part of. So if you've been here for a while and have just missed the starting points, or if you're new, even if this is your first Sunday, you don't need to RSVP. Just come back next week and show up for Starting Point, and we'd be glad to have you there. So join us for Starting Point. Another thing I want to share is we've been sharing this announcement for the last few weeks. One of the things we like to do here at Chatham Community Church is we like to mark people's commitments to God. We like to celebrate that. We like to pray for people. We like to bless it. We like to acknowledge it. One of the classic ways we do that, it's done in most Christian communities, is through baptism. And next week, we're having a baptism service. So if you or if your child has made this commitment to God, has never been baptized and wants to be baptized, we'd love to baptize you. So you can come talk to me after the service or email us. The email is really easy to remember. It's rsvp@chathamchurch.org. You'll get more information about that. We'd love to talk to you and set that up. But we also know that because of the dynamics of our community, that we get lots of people joining us who have already been baptized, but faith and church were not really a consistent part of their lives. And part of them engaging with Chatham Community Church is a re-engagement or a first-time serious engagement with faith. And they want to mark that. But baptism isn't the right move for them. So next week, we're starting to do something that we're going to call affirmation of faith. Because that's what people are doing. They are saying, okay, I was baptized, maybe I went to church for a while, but now, as part of this community, I want to say, I'm taking this seriously. This is something that I want to have part of my life for the long run. If that's your story, we want to mark that. What we'll do is we'll have the group of you come up here. We have some things prepared that you can affirm. We'll pray and bless you, and we'll celebrate that. So you don't have to get up and give a speech or anything like that. It's just a way for you to mark in community that you're saying yes to making faith and church and God a part of your life for the long run. I've already talked to a few of you that are interested in that. If you are curious about that, if you're like, oh yes, that's the step I want to take, come talk to me or email. The email's real easy, rsvp@chathamchurch.org, and we'll celebrate with you next week. The movie Boyhood is a coming-of-age drama that came out in 2014. It was written and directed by Richard Linklater, and it focuses on a character named Mason. It's the child on the screen. It follows his development from childhood into adolescence, showing a bit of his life from each year between the ages of 6 to 18. And you have some shots from different scenes from the movie. Part of what sets this film apart, even as you're looking at the images, you may get a hint of this, is that they didn't use effects to age or de-age characters or to change their features so that they looked like each other. They also didn't cast a set of brothers. They didn't go out hunting for a family of 6 boys that looked remarkably like each other in order to cast Mason. Mason is played by one actor. The film took 11 years to make. Each year, the whole cast and crew would gather together to film the scenes that pertained to that year. It required an incredible amount of commitment because there are labor laws that govern Hollywood where you can't commit to someone for that extended period of time. So they had to agree and commit to each other that they would come back together once a year to film the scenes. This kind of communication, coordination, commitment, and effort is remarkable, but it produces something unique, something singular. It's likely we can all identify situations in our lives or in the lives of people we know where something changes in the blink of an eye. In fact, we have words for it. We call it turning point moments. That's one of the words that we use. Things where things change on a dime. They alter the course of our lives. They are memorable. They stick with us because of how dramatic the change is, because of how significant it is and how sudden it is. But what's also true is that if we think of the course of our lives or the course of other people's lives, we know and can identify changes that took a significant amount of time to come together. Changes that were for the good, but took persistence, took coordination, took intentionality, and took more. And not just those things, but they took those things over the course of a long period of time in order to see good fruit. Sometimes it takes deliberate effort over time to produce something significant. And it doesn't make that significant thing any less valuable than the kinds of significant things that happen in the blink of an eye, that happen in turning point moments. And these kinds of things aren't just true about the movie Boyhood, which clearly produced something singular. And it's not true, it's not just true about the things that maybe initially come to mind when you think of, well, what kind of significant changes take time? Things like changes in your health for good, or building good relationships, or developing good habits in life. It can also be true about things that connect to God. Sometimes things connected to God that will produce something significant take deliberate effort. And they take deliberate effort over time to bear fruit. It can be true of the things that we pray for ourselves. It can also be true of the things that we pray for the people that we care and love about. Sometimes it takes time to see change happen. To start 2025, we're talking about how we can change the atmosphere in situations, in places, and in relationships, because we've all been in those settings, situations, relationships, and places where things feel funky. They feel off. Something doesn't feel quite right. And it's not just the decor, and it's not just someone's bad breath. There's more going on. Things feel off. We can't always put our finger on it. One of the things we believe is that reality doesn't just consist of what we can see or hear or perceive with our senses. There is a spiritual reality, and sometimes the reason we can't put our finger on why things feel off is because something's going on in the spiritual reality that's affecting the situation, that's affecting the relationship, that's affecting the place. But God has made resources available to us. Resources that we can access, spiritual resources. And when we access them, we can change the atmosphere in relationships, in places, and in situations. So what we're doing through this series is we're accessing those resources, particularly the resource of prayer. We're looking at specific prayers in Scripture or situations where people were praying and it produced a change in the atmosphere, and we're drawing from that the kinds of things that we might practice, the kinds of things that we might engage in, the kinds of things that we might do when we find ourselves in situations, in places, and in relationships that just feel off and need a change in the atmosphere, so you never have to feel disempowered from now on when you find yourself in a funky situation, a funky place, or a funky relationship. There is something you can access to bring about change for good. Now, there are prayers in Scripture that are prayed and something immediately happens. They're turning point kinds of prayers. We've talked about some of those already, and we'll talk about more. But there are also prayers in Scripture, in situations where people are praying in Scripture, where it clearly communicates that these are things that are being prayed over the long haul, that they're being prayed consistently over time. And it's important to look at those, because sometimes a change in the atmosphere takes time. It takes intentionality. It takes deliberate, consistent prayer, which begs the question, what would we pray then? What would we pray over the long haul when changing the atmosphere seems like it's going to take time? What would you pray? What would you pray that would keep you praying over the long haul with faith and hope that the atmosphere is going to change? Well, one of the things we could do is we could pray prayers like the one Paul prayed in the passage that Patty just read for us. Now, there are a few things to note about the passage in Ephesians and even about Ephesians itself, the context of the prayer and the letter. When Paul writes this letter, it is likely that he is imprisoned. He is being imprisoned and has been imprisoned because of his work to bring the good news of Jesus to all sorts of places and all sorts of people. When he goes to places and he talks about Jesus, when there are signs that are performed, when people are healed, when a different message is preached that is bringing people to Jesus, when people start turning away from their particular practices and start turning to Jesus, the atmosphere changes. Time and time again, if you read through the book of Acts or you read from his letters, you get this sense that wherever Paul went to talk about Jesus, things changed. And not everyone was happy about it. That's how Paul ends up in prison. Not everyone welcomes a change in the atmosphere because some people are comfortable with a funky atmosphere. Either because it's the status quo or because the funkiness or the offness works to their advantage. And that's the case with Paul. And he is then imprisoned. Now, what would he do? What would he do when he's in prison? Well, one of the things he does is he writes. He set up these communities or knows about these communities all around the region, and he sets out to write to them, to encourage them, to talk to them, to communicate to them. He writes a letter to communities like the one in Ephesus, to the Ephesians. Now, something interesting about the community in Ephesians is that Paul has helped establish this community. During one of his sort of travels through the region, he stops at Ephesus and he helps establish the community of Christians there. He spends time with them. So these are people that he's deeply invested in, that he loves, that he's been praying for and with from the beginning. And you get that sort of sense that he's been with them from the long haul, even as you read his letter. Because he's seen the atmosphere change in Ephesus already. And as he's in prison, wherever he happens to be in prison, he's thinking about them and longing to see that change persist and also grow. So what does he do with that longing? What does he do with that longing when he can't really be present to affect any change or to contribute to any change? He prays for them. He prays for these people that he loves and cares for. He prays for this place that he loves and he cares for. All of us have people that we love and we care for. All of us have people like Paul that we've been connected to over the years. Maybe we've spent significant time with them. Maybe we are still spending significant time with them. Some of them are family. Some of them are close enough that they might as well be family. They're the family we've chosen. These people that we've been connected to, that we've loved, that we love, that we're invested in, are people that we care for. They're people whom we want good for. We want the atmosphere in their lives to be healthy, to be good, to not feel funky or off. These are the people that we have decided to hang with for the long haul. Now, that doesn't always end up happening. Things can change, but at least in the moment, we find ourselves committed to them for the long haul. And if we're committed to them for the long haul, we might as well pray for them in the long haul as well. Who do you love and are deeply invested in? Think of the people that are long-haul people in your life right now. Some are obvious. But maybe reach back and pick some of the people that maybe aren't obvious but are clearly in your life for the long haul or have been in your life for the long haul. Who are they? Who do you love and are deeply invested in? Friends, one of the best things we can do for them is to pray for them regularly. It's one of the best gifts we can give them. It's one of the best things we can do for the relationship. What that means is that on an ongoing basis, you are accessing spiritual resources, spiritual power from the Almighty and loving God for their benefit and their good. On an ongoing basis, you are appealing to the one who has so much to give and who is disposed in love towards everyone to bring about good in their lives. Now, when I say or when you read the words pray for them regularly, you may already have an image conjured up in your mind. So I want to say from the start, there is no one way to do that. And if the way you're thinking that, oh, this is what it means to pray regularly would be a barrier to you, perhaps that's not your way to pray regularly. Let me just paint a picture of one way that someone I know prayed regularly. Maybe it'll challenge some of the paradigms you have of what it might mean. Maybe it might remove some barriers to pray for people. Or someone I knew who would take some time at the beginning of the week. It worked for his schedule. Early in the morning on Monday, he would spend some time not talking to people, and he would sit and think. He would pray, and he would ask God to bring names to his mind, and he would just then leave space. And he would take whatever names came to his mind of people he knew to be names that God was giving him. He trusted that as he prayed, God was answering. And whatever names came to his mind, he would write down on a notebook. And then throughout the week, his commitment was he was praying for them. That was sort of the agreement he made for God. He said, God, I want to pray regularly for people. So what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to ask you to give me some names. Whatever names come to mind, I'm going to trust that's from you. And I'm going to spend the week just praying for them. And he would spend time during the week at different points during the week. They were just the people on his list. He would pray. He would pray for things that he knew about them. He would pray general things for them. And at some point throughout the week, he would send a message to them just to let them know that he was thinking about them, that he was praying for them, and to ask them if there was anything they needed prayer for. Now, he didn't pray for every one of those people every day. And not everyone got on the list every week. But this was how he prayed regularly for the people he was connected to. Praying regularly doesn't have to mean praying every day. It doesn't have to mean praying at the same time. It doesn't have to mean praying in the same way. But it does mean that there's some consistency and some intentionality. So as you think about the people you love, and as you maybe think about some of the barriers or the reasons why praying regularly would not be a thing for you, consider that all of us have the capacity to demonstrate some level of consistency and some level of intentionality. Some level of consistency and some level of intentionality. What might that look like for you when it comes to prayer? This is not about imposing a rigid structure. It's about building a habit of prayer for people. And the goal here is not for you to do it a particular way. The goal for you is to find the way that you can do it. Because there is a way. There is a way for you. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he takes some time in this letter to write, among all things he could write. Paul writes all sorts of things in his letters. He writes advice. He writes encouragement. He gives feedback on questions that he's received or issues that he's aware of. But in this letter, he writes prayers is one of the things he writes. Now, a paper or writing implements were not like easy thing to access. They weren't abundant. So that he takes time in this letter to write a prayer is important. The prayer that he writes is likely born of prayers that he's already been praying for these people. And it's likely that after he sends this letter, he keeps praying for this people. That doesn't mean that he prays this exact prayer every day for those people. It doesn't mean that he prays the same words that he's writing. What it does mean is that the prayers that he's praying for them are coming from the same type of heart, same type of desire, the same type of longing for their good. So when you think of what it means to pray regularly, it's about consistency. It's about regularity and intentionality when we think about what it means to pray for the long haul. But to those two things, we add heart. Because it's regularity, it's consistency, it's intentionality, and heart that are the foundation for long haul prayers that can change the atmosphere. Those are the foundations. Now let's talk about the prayer itself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to note a few things about the prayer to give us a sense both of why we would pray for people over the long haul and what kinds of things we might pray for them. Early in the passage, Paul uses this phrase. He says that he is praying to the Father from whom every family on earth derives its name. The Father from whom every family on earth derives his name. He's saying that the God he's praying to, the Father that he's appealing to, is the kind of God that cares for everyone. That cares for everyone in every place and every time. Which means that one could pray these kinds of prayers for anyone. Because God cares for everyone. Now, this is not necessarily a common thing in the first century. Gods were local. Gods were specific. Gods were for a people or for a particular purpose. But this God that he prays to, and the God that we pray to, is an all-y'all God. He's a God for everyone. No one is outside the care of God. Doesn't matter what time in history they were born in. Doesn't matter what part of the world they were born in. Nothing. He cares for all of them, which means that all the people that we love, all the people that we are deeply invested in, no matter what their stories, no matter what their trajectory, are deeply loved by God. In fact, if you measure how much we love them, God loves them infinitely more. He made them. He knows them. He loves them. He knows the good that is there for them, the good life that they were made for, and he wants that good life for them as well. When we pray for people, we are praying for ones that God made, God knows, and God loves. This is one of the reasons why we pray for people. And this is especially important when thinking about why would we pray in the long haul for people who don't care, who seemingly don't care about God. They don't know him. They're not interested. Maybe they're actually apathetic, or maybe they're actually aggressive and antagonistic towards him. God doesn't start caring about people when they start caring about him. God cares for people from the beginning and for all eternity. God is invested in them. He's cared about us from the beginning. In fact, one of the core scriptures of the New Testament, one of the scriptures that's quoted on and on, over and over again, in lots of different spaces, Christian and not, is a scripture that talks about God's immense love for the world. And that is meant to communicate not just the globe at the time of Jesus' birth, but the whole entire cosmos of creation for all of eternity. God has cared for all the world and all its people for all time, and he still does. There is no one for whom you can say, well, that person couldn't belong on my list of people to pray for, because there is no one that God doesn't care for. No one that God isn't deeply invested in. No one that God doesn't love. What you do when you pray for them is you join in a God who already has a heart for them and longing for what he longs for. Even if it takes a long time to see change, God is still longing for that good in their lives. Even if you find yourself praying for people, longing for things, and actually finding them moving away, and it feels like the atmosphere is changing for the worse, keep praying. Because even if it takes a long time to see the change for good, in praying for them, the atmosphere is going to change in your heart. There will be a change in atmosphere, at the very least, in your heart, in your life, in your relationship with them. When I first started going to church, I would go to these youth camps, and one of the things that they do at youth camps sometimes is they will sing kids' songs. It's a way to rally the youth, but you know, teenagers, especially middle schoolers, and sort of channel all this energy. They tap into something that was familiar to them from their time growing up. I wasn't familiar with these songs, but I still jumped in. And I grew up in Puerto Rico, so the songs were in Spanish. I'm not going to sing the song that we sang, but there was a song that we would sing that talked about the love of God. And as any good kid's song, it had hand motions. And it would talk about how the love of God was so high, and you'd go like this that you couldn't go above it, and so low, and you'd go like this that you couldn't go below it, and so wide that you couldn't go outside of it. And I remember, I still do to this day, stretching my hands like that and feeling the limit of my muscles, and finding some sense of comfort and wonder in that the love of God was that big. It gave me the sense that no matter what I could think of the love of God or his desire, his goodness for us, there was always more. There was always enough for everyone. It's a sense of overwhelming abundance that comes through in Paul's prayer as well. There are all sorts of words in this short passage that communicate a sense of overwhelming abundance. There's words like glorious riches. There's a progression that talks about how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of God. Words like it surpasses knowledge. Words like filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. And words like immeasurably more. It paints this picture of overwhelming abundance. Now, we live in a part of the country where hyperbole is commonplace. Right? They call it Southern hyperbole, which means that most of us are conditioned to sort of dial down things to get a sense of accuracy. Paul isn't from North Carolina, friends. When Paul writes this, Paul isn't practicing Southern hyperbole. The love of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the peace of God, the power of God really is that big, really is overwhelmingly abundant. Paul is painting a picture of a God who has so much more to give. God has the resources. God has the ability. In fact, God has the disposition and desire to meet the needs and change the lives of the people we pray for. This is why we pray in the long run. This is why we pray, even if we don't see a change in the atmosphere in the immediate. This is why we remain committed to praying regularly for people, because God has the resources to bring about the change, and God wants to bring it. We are made by God. We are known by God. We are loved by God. God has enough. God wants to bring about good. Those aren't just things that are good to keep in mind as we consider why we would pray for people. They are things that are good for us to embrace and remember as well. So before we move on to continuing on how we pray for other people, I just want to pause for a second and ask you, is there any part of that that you need to re-engage with or re-embrace for yourself today? The idea that we are made by God, you are made by God and known by God, and loved by God, and that God has abundant and infinite resources and is disposed to your good. Is there any part of that that you find yourself needing more of today? Take a moment and embrace it. Take a moment and receive it. Take a moment and let it take root in your heart. Take root in your heart before we move on to how we would pray for people. When we think about how we would pray for people, lots of things could come to mind. There are always all sorts of specific things that we might pray for people on an ongoing basis. But I want to draw our attention to a few of the ways Paul is praying that I think are general enough that we could pray them at all times for all people. The first thing is praying for a rootedness in God and community. One of the core needs of humanity is to connect with God. To connect with the God who made us, who knows us, who loves us and wants good for us. If there's anything good that's going to happen in someone's life, if there's anything that is going to change the atmosphere for the better, it is going to flow. It is going to come from our connection to God and people's connection to God. Paul prays things in line with this. He prays things like that Christ would dwell in their hearts. He prays that people would be rooted and established in love. Because the best things that can happen to people that we love and care for flow from a connection to God. The best thing that could happen to someone you know is that they either would establish a connection to God or strengthen a connection to God. All the good that is there for them can come from that. So how do we pray in light of that? Well, we pray that those that don't know him would come to know him. Pray that people would come to know God. And we pray that those who do know him would find their roots in him going deeper and further. As you pray for people in light of this, consider also praying about the other things that people root themselves to, maybe the things that we root ourselves to. And maybe even about the ways that people in your life might feel unrooted and like it. Consider what uprooting might need to happen to change the atmosphere. Now, obviously in their lives, but what about our lives as well? What are the things that need to be uprooted? We can be rooted in all sorts of things. Some of us have or are rooted in ambition, and it serves us in some ways. Some of us have been or are rooted in work. Some of us have been or are rooted in politics and hobbies. Some of us have been or are rooted in our role as parents. That is the foundation of our lives. Some of us have been or are rooted in lies. Lies we've been told and believed about ourselves, about our world, and about God. We can root ourselves in all sorts of things, and not all of them are harmful. Or at least not inherently harmful. Some of them seem good. There is some goodness to being rooted in family and in community. There is some goodness to pay attention to and attend to our sense of our work. But when we build our lives entirely on these things, or primarily on any one of those things, it's just not enough. It's just not enough to sustain our lives. We end up with less than what we were made for. We miss out. So we pray for rootedness in God and community. Now, we said already that Paul is praying to an all y'all God. But it's also important to remember that this is a y'all prayer. The you's here are not being spoken to an individual. They're being spoken to a community. This is a y'all prayer. He's praying for individuals in the context of community. The rootedness in God is happening in the context of being rooted in a community or alongside a community. So how might that shape how you pray for the people that you care about and love? How might their lives change? Not just if they put down roots in God, but if they do that alongside other people who are also putting down roots in God. How might they be sustained? How might they be cared for? How might they be strengthened? The next thing I want to draw from Paul's prayer on how we might pray for others in the long haul is to pray for a filling of God's Spirit, power, and love. These concepts are littered throughout the passage. But the part that draws my attention every time I read this text is this prayer that says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now that's a great thing to pray for yourself. It's a great thing to pray for others. I want you to just sit with that idea for just a moment. The idea of being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does that evoke in you? What feelings come up? Does it maybe feel a little bit overwhelming? Does it maybe feel like it might be a little bit too much? Does it feel like abundantly good? I'll tell you what's been evoking in me recently when I pray this. I've been frequenting Jeremiah's, which is the Italian ice shop that opened near Northwood. I try to keep myself to once a week. I'm not always successful. Now I go in, I order a small. I promise you, every time, a small. A small gets you at least two flavors of their Italian ice. It gets you some soft serve, and it gets you a topping. I want to remind you, this is a small. But this is what comes out. That's what I think of now when I think of being filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. In part, I think, wow, there's so much good in that. And there's a part that makes me think, oh man, that just feels like too much for me. It almost feels like too much for me. One, this is the kind of prayer that takes a lifetime to be answered individually. Like, I don't think this side of heaven I'll ever be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And this is why it's important to remember that this is a y'all prayer. Because what I find comfort in is that when I look at the people around here and I think, man, if all of us are praying this kind of prayer, I think as a community, we might be able to reflect or approach all the measure of the fullness of God, this side of heaven. Because in the ways that I'm still needing to be filled, you're already filled or a little further along. And when we aggregate all of us together, we create or we project a picture of all the good or a lot of the good, a lot of the good that God has for us and that God has for our community. So again, pray for the filling of God's Spirit, God's power, and God's love. That in the context of community, we may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Imagine what it would look like if there were communities all throughout Chatham County that bound together, arm in arm, would reflect to anyone who would look greater and greater measures of the fullness of God, of God's goodness, of God's mercy, of God's peace, of God's power, of God's love. It would change the atmosphere. It would change the atmosphere in people's lives. It would change the atmosphere in our county. Friends, this is what we want, not just for ourselves, but it's the kinds of things that it's worth wanting, praying, and contending in prayer for in the long run for every single person that we love, every single person that we care for, every single person that we're invested in, the best possible life that they could live. And it will change the atmosphere. Now, some of these atmospheres are going to take time to change. We know it. Because some of us were atmospheres that took a long time to change. So let's be deliberate. Let's be intentional. Let's be regular. Pray regularly for people that we care and we love. Let's start now. Pick one person. One person that you care for and that you love. Think of them right now. The name that comes up, that's the person I want you to pray for. And in whatever, you can use these words, but in whatever words you want to, pray these things for them. Let it be a seed. The first seed you're putting in a desire to pray regularly for them to see atmospheric change in their life for good. I'm going to give us 20 seconds to pray for them. Take some time and pray now. God, we pray for roots that go deep in you and that are stretched alongside people that love you as well. And we pray that you would fill us with your spirit, with your power, and with your love, that in the aggregate, we would be filled to the measure, to all the fullness of God, this side of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.